Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape. And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
A Beasley Media Group station.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Bruins will be back at work tonight at home against Detroit. Judd Surratt and Bob Beards have the Duncan pregame at 6:30 and the faceoff at 7 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Bruins will be without Brad Marchand. He was suspended for 3 games for slew-footing Vancouver defenseman Oliver Ekman-Larsson Sunday night. TSN in Canada adds that Jake DeBrusk asked for a trade over the weekend. The team is now in the process of seeing whether or not they can accommodate him. Celtics' Enes Kanter officially became a U.S. citizen yesterday and changed his name to Enes Kanter Freedom. He and the Green off tonight. They host Philadelphia at TD Garden tomorrow night. And finally, the New England Revolution will play a playoff game tonight at home against New York City FC. The winner goes to the Eastern Conference Finals. You can listen in at 7:30 over on Rock 92.9. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by the Corcoran and Haviland Insurance Group. For all your home, auto, and business insurance needs, visit chinsurance.com. I'm John Wallach of Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update at 9:30.
They get you going. They get you going every day.
He looks worse than me. Way worse than me.
Toucher and Rich.
And I don't look good.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is almost like ass everywhere, but it's like just being in a sea of heavy, hairy dudes. Like, I can't believe, like, boys.
Are you just describing the video?
Yeah.
Boys.
Give me some summertime love. Give me some summertime love.
Boys.
Let the summertime roll. Let the summertime roll.
Boys.
This is the new goal song. It should be.
This was, of course, this is a cover of the Dylan song.
Right.
Air Force One. When he first went electric. Nick Foligno is from the Boston Bruins. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Nick Foligno, hello, sir.
Hello, I thought I didn't have to hear that song anymore, but
every time now,
really trying to make that thing go. All right, I like your persistence.
We will not stop until it's the goal song, because
we're never going to stop.
Yeah.
We're going to die with Bear Force One.
Yes,
Bear Force One at the funeral. Bear Force One everywhere.
2035, and it's still trying. Yeah.
Exactly, they're playing in some bubble. It's like on the moon, and we're trying to figure out what a new goal song would be. Well, Nick Foligno, here we are, and did you think Marchand deserved the 3 games there for the slew foot? I would imagine you did.
No, I've changed my tune completely now that I play with him. No, you know what? I have to say I was shocked. I didn't think it was a really anything play, to be honest with you. I've seen that happen a lot of times, especially – people forget, and I'm not defending the guy because he's obviously he's done some things in the past, and that's the way Brad plays, and he's on the edge. But this was one of those things where he's just a smaller statured guy, so his center of gravity, I think, is just it's what ends up being the reason why Oliver Ekman-Larsson kind of falls over. It's not really because of a slew foot. I think he's just planting his feet and battling on a puck, and I don't know why they saw it that way. And it's unfortunate because I've seen way worse slew foots that are real slew foots go unpenalized or unpunished this year. And to see them kind of throw the book at them for 3 games is a little disappointing, but I've had to shake my head a few times at that stuff. So I'm going to keep the rest of my comments quiet now, but I'm a little disappointed for Brad, just cause I don't think that was a fair punishment.
Well, I mean, and that's kind of the bet he lays in. You know, as you said, he's a guy who's unfortunately, you know, gotten a reputation because of the suspensions in the past, and it almost seems like it's made easy for these guys. You know, even if it's questionable, you immediately take a look at the 6 suspensions and you go, okay, well, we have to suspend the guy, right?
Yeah, and I think that's I get some of that, you know, I really do, because I think if you're a repeat offender and you've done some things, there's just, you know, there's a trust factor that the players in the league don't trust. But, you know, I think Brad hasn't been suspended in a while, right? Hasn't really had much. And I think there's also that taken into account. And, you know, you saw it with some other players around the league as well. So I think, like anything, it's just, it should be based on, you know, what actually is happening in the game and at the time. And, you know, and some of that, yes, you have to take their track record into account. But I think in this case, it's an unfortunate one, because I think it went a little overboard on the way Brad's been playing, especially for us and of late, you know, in his career.
Did you guys see the Lemieux play when Brendan Lemieux bit?
Yes.
Kachuk?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and then Kachuk, after the game, went crazy. What do you make of that Brendan Lemieux fella? He just seems to have a lot of friends around the league, Nick.
I don't know him very well. I obviously know his dad a little bit, just from my dad is coaching him.
I'm from Detroit. Yeah. His dad is a hero there.
Oh, yeah. Everyone loves him.
Really well liked.
Yeah, he was the way he turtled.
Yeah. Oddly enough, that was like my brother's favorite player growing up.
Oh, so. No way! Really? Why?
Oh. I don't know. My brother is...
Well, you're such a pussy! Like, oh, he was the worst! Oh, that's so funny. That's
another guy played on the edge and was definitely crossed that line. But you could, the line was way bigger back then. You could cross that line back in the day.
But he turtled when McCarty went after him after he hit Draper.
He's a Bruins version of Al Samuelson. Yes,
it's just the worst turtling I've ever seen. Yeah. I mean, literally turtled. And you're tough. You and your brother, I don't know. It seems, well,
you know, trust me, it surprised me. But I mean, the guy's got a few cups to his name, so. I'll say this. I don't think there's any room in the game for that at all. So if that's actually what happened and it looks like it is, then, you know, that's ridiculous. We don't want that in our game. Just like we don't want a guy to get spit on. We don't want, like, that just, that's not teaching anything other than just, you know, that the guy blacked out and obviously didn't know what he was doing. Or if he did, then it's just ridiculous. And we don't want those type of players and our plays in the game. So I have nothing against Brent Lemieux. I don't think, you know, I don't really know him that well, so I'm not going to comment, but I just think that is the play and he bit him, then, you know, it's ridiculous, and nobody in this league wants that, not one guy who wants to get bit.
How often does that happen? Because, you know, we all, as, you know, Bruins fans, remember, of course, very famously, Alex Burrows biting Patrice Bergeron's finger.
During the Stanley Cup Finals.
During the Stanley Cup Final.
I forgot about that.
And then, of course, Luch, you know, jamming his finger into his mouth later on, a couple games later, which I thought was great. But how often does that happen? Like, are these bites going on and we're just not seeing them as fans?
You know, I don't know. I guess we got a bunch of cannibals in the league. No, you know, I don't see it. I mean, I think I'd obviously lose it if somebody bit me, but I don't really notice it, because I've been in a few scrums where you're on the ground, anything goes. You know, you get a few eye gouges and things like that, but fish hooks. But I've never really been bit or had somebody bite me or tried to bite somebody if I was mad. One of the funniest things, though, is Jarkko Ruutu, another kind of hard-nosed, kind of a rat player. I was playing with him in Ottawa, and he ended up biting Pierce, I believe his name, the tough guy for them. He had his hand in his face, and he bit him. And, you know, it was right in front of our bench. And we were all like, no. He's like, no, I didn't bite him. There's no way. Like, I didn't bite him. Like, no chance. And then there's a picture, and it's got a picture of him just clawing down, chomping down right on Peter's hand, and we were dying laughing the next day. I mean, it's kind of funny now, but just because he was adamant, I didn't bite him, no way, and he got suspended a few games for that. So we learned not to take everything that Jarkko says to heart after that one. But yeah, so I guess it happens more often than not, but hopefully no more, because I just think I get it. Trust me, when you're seeing red, you'll do anything. You know, but I don't know why biting is your resort to. I would just try to get him back later on in the game. That's all.
Nick, it's interesting. You know, you're talking about being from Detroit, and Probert, you know, obviously maybe the toughest guy, the best fighter to ever fight. But there was a time where you talked about blacking out, and there was a time where there was a documentary about Probert, and people said that they would square up with him, and he would have this like blank look on his face. That was like frightening. Like, he'd obviously gone to this other place due to drugs or whatever else, and he wasn't like of this planet. Have you ever seen a guy like out of control on the ice where you were like, whoa, this guy is dangerous. Like this guy's playing not with his head in the right place.
No, I mean, not really. I'm sure. I hate to say it. I'm sure I've gone there a couple times.
Right.
The only guy I think of that when you say that just makes me laugh is this old player, Dean McCammond. Played with him in Ottawa again, but it just makes me laugh because he had a nickname as Hank when Me, Myself, and Irene came out. You know that movie? And,
yes. Oh, yeah.
Because Dean McCammond, he was this like quiet Christian guy, really great guy, awesome guy in the room, and just a really quiet guy. But when somebody made him mad and pissed him off, he went to this alter ego I've never seen, and he was so tough. He would literally square up with just his hands by his side and wait for the guy to come in and punch him, and he'd just start throwing bombs. And so, you know, you think of those things, and I'm like, that would probably, when a guy squares up with you with his hands down, I'm a little worried about a guy like that. So,
because you get the first one, it's just going to piss me off more.
And then you're dead. So, that actually makes me think of him. It's funny you're bringing all these stories back right now.
So, Nick, we got to ask you, obviously, about some of the news that broke yesterday where it was reported that Jake DeBrusk has asked to be traded from the team. You know, we used to have Jake DeBrusk on a decent amount. That's not any kind of indicator of what's going to happen in your future. But he is someone who obviously has been hot and cold. And obviously last year was a tough year for him. Like, what's it been like the past couple of games with him, and how has he been handling all of this? And did you know about it before the announcement last night?
No, I didn't. And it's hard for me to talk on because, you know, I don't really know enough about it. Obviously, I have a relationship with Jake, and I think he's a great kid and, you know, a great player, obviously. And I think whenever you hear this as fans or as people that are fans of the team, you get emotional because you don't understand why a player would want out or what the case may be. So, I think the biggest thing is that, you know, there's a standard of play that we have here, and that's the Boston Bruin way. And so I understand that, you know, for a while here, it's been tough for him, and he's trying to find his way as a young player. And, you know, there's a maturity that comes along with it. And I think he's learning that sometimes not as fast as other people would like or him himself. But there's a process for every player. And so I think for Jake, and I'm sure his side and the team, they're just trying to figure out what's best for everybody. And, you know, it's a hard situation because, you know, everyone cares. And I know he loves the room and the guys love him in the room. But there's a business side to it. So you can never really, you know, speculate. It's not really somewhere I can really talk on because I haven't been here long enough. But it's a hard one. I've seen guys do it on my teams before. Where, you know, you have guys that are asking for trades and things like that. So it can get messy. But, you know, at the end of the day, you try to separate church and state, I guess. And, you know, we all care a lot about Jake and you want what's best for him. So whether it's with us or somewhere else, I think you just wish him the best and hope that if it's here, it works out. And if not, then, you know, he's happy and we move forward as a team because we're ultimately here to win hockey games. And, you know, whether it's with him or without him, our goal is to focus on that, which is a big test tonight for us, again, getting on a roll here. So,
Well, you've said, Nick, that you had people on your team that this has happened with before. Have you ever had a situation like it looks like you're facing tonight where the team is so shorthanded because of Marchand being gone that Jake, who requested a trade from the team, may have to play tonight with you guys?
Yeah, I mean, I've played with guys that have asked for trades at the start of the year and they end up staying the whole year. So, you know, it's just part of the business. I know it's hard for, that's why I say the emotion, trust us, like we care in our room and obviously you want guys who want to be there. That's so important. And it's important to every fiber of the organization. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's a business too. And just because a guy's unhappy, it doesn't mean they can just facilitate a trade tomorrow. And you got to do what's best for the organization. They're always going to do what's best for the organization and the team. So a player has to understand that too when they make an ask like that, that maybe it's not going to happen right away. And you got to be a pro. And, you know, I think that's what Jake has to understand is if that's the situation, then he still needs to come in here and do his job like we expect him to. He's never not done that. He's a great kid. He's, you know, as much as people want to hear the bad stuff because of what just went on or what may have occurred, you know, he's still coming in and, you know, being a good guy in the room. So, you know, now we expect him that when he steps on the ice for a game, it's to do whatever he can to help the Boston Bruins until told otherwise.
So, no, we like him, and I think that most everybody who knows this situation, I think, realizes that it's best for both sides if he maybe tries something somewhere else. This is one of those times where someone's requested to be traded, and I don't feel a lot of people are like offended by that,
right?
And if anything, as you may or may not know, Boston sports fans can be very sensitive to things like that. You don't want to be part of our team. Yeah. In this case, I think we've just seen Jake having his own issues, and I think that we can kind of almost empathize with what's going on.
He was really good in the preseason too. I mean, yeah. We've seen him perform well. He's at what he scored 27 three or four years ago. Yeah. I mean, he's had his high points, but he's been more low than high recently.
Yeah, and I think that just it comes with, like I said, maturing as a player too. Though you have to understand, it's an all the time thing. There's just as much onus on Jake as anything else or any organization or finger pointing. It always comes down to the player, and I think it's sometimes hard to realize. And so that's where you just say, if the change of scenery is best for him, then we wish Jake well. If it's here, then we're going to figure out a way to make it work, and that's all you can do. And, you know, but our focus is on winning hockey games. And, you know, when you're in that room, that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to be a part of that. So until told otherwise, I expect that from Jake and any other guy that's in our locker room. And, you know, we're a team that's trying to find our way still here with the new faces, and you know, it was a big win the other night coming back, and we want to get momentum off that. So we're you know, like I said, with if Jake's in the lineup or what, it's you know, our focus isn't on that and worrying about that. It's all right, we're facing the Detroit Red Wings tonight. We got to get ready for that.
So I saw your quote from the other night. Apparently you've been here long enough to be blinded by the greatness that is Patrice Bergeron. And you're falling in line with the Brad Marchands of the world, in which it almost seems like it's a bromance that cannot be broken.
Yeah, it's making me sick, like I said. No. you know what? He's just a fantastic person. And I knew that coming in. You know, his hair is always... I always laugh. Like, I have no hair now, but I don't remember my hair ever looking that perfect at, like, 8 a.m., you know? So it just drives me nuts a little bit. But... yeah, he's, you know what, he's a really good man, and I'm really enjoying playing with him and amongst the other guys. You know, it's just, you can tell why the room is the way it is, you know, just the way he commands it, and even just not even trying, just the way he goes about his business, I say. Like, he's always on point, needs to be where he needs to be, and is pushing the room in the right direction. So it's been a lot of fun to learn from and play with, and also get to know him. He's just a great guy off the ice.
Yeah, those guys in Quebec with their hair, they love it. All right. Nick Foligno, thank you so much for the time. Best of luck. We appreciate it.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape. And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.